Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 in the ESV. Jonah flees the presence of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up.
Well, thank you, Natalie. And I invite you to take your Bible and turn to that passage, please. And we're going to read a number of passages of Scripture today. We'll start there at Jonah chapter 1. But let's pray first, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that we can trust your word. We can trust you. And we want to be sensitive to listening for your call. Father, we thank you for the fact that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Help us as we look into this passage today. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, Pastor Scott's not able to be here this morning. He was scheduled to preach this morning. He's not able to be here, so you're stuck with me. Jonah chapter 1, interesting passage. Now, you know, when we read through the Scripture, we find two character types particularly in the Old Testament. These character types don't carry on in the New Testament quite the same, although I believe there is definitely those character types that are manifest in the New Testament and even to the present day. But the one character type is that of the priest. In the Old Testament, we find the office of the priest. The priest was established by God to communicate from the people to God. The people couldn't go directly to God. Pre-crucifixion of Christ, pre the temple veil being ripped in half, the people did not have access to God, only the priest, and that was once a year that he went on the inside of the veil of the temple into the most holy place to atone on behalf of the people, the sins of the people, and take an offering of blood into the most holy place. So the priest went to God on behalf of the people. The other character type that we find throughout Scripture is the character type of the prophet. The prophet spoke to the people from God, the voice of God speaking to the people. So when we read through the Scripture today, we find various different ministries there, and we find the ministry of the prophet actually more so in the preacher-teacher type of a person that is proclaiming the Word of God to people. Now, the reality is that I trust that you are people who are reading God's Word, and if you're not, I want to give you a challenge today that you would start some kind of a program, some kind of a plan that you would read God's Word every day. On your phone, if you have a Bible program, you can find all kinds of opportunities there and plans to help you so that you would spend some time in God's Word every day. God speaks to people, and God calls people to His service. Come back with me, please, to that passage that Natalie read for us from Jonah chapter 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said to him, "Jonah, son of Amittai, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." That is a very specific call of God, a very clear, very specific call of God. Other times, we see God doing things in the lives of individuals that may not be such a specific call as this. But this is what I'm going to call a sacred call of God. God spoke directly to Jonah and said, "Jonah, son of Amittai, I want you to get up. I want you to go. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach against the wickedness that is there." And it was a very, very specific call of God to the people of Nineveh through the man Jonah. I want you to turn with me, please, if you would, quickly over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is the account of God's call of Abram. And it says here in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4 says, so Abram, his name was changed later to Abraham. Abram departed as the Lord had said to him, and Lot went with him, and so on the story goes. Abraham responded. Turn with me just over a few pages to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. Specific, sacred call of God. Okay? Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham. Remember, we just read about Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. And he said, surely I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to the land of large land, land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of Canaanites and Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Now, therefore, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress me. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. A very specific, a very sacred call on the life of Moses. Turn with me one more time over, please, to the book of Mark in the New Testament. Mark chapter 1. In the New Testament, and we're going to read beginning at verse 16. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he, this is Jesus, saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little farther from there, and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. A very sacred call, a very call from the mouth of God to these individuals. Turn with me, please, one more time over to the book of Acts, chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been there, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Friends, today these were very sacred calls. God called these men with his own voice, hearing that they would hear it and hopefully that they would respond. A very specific call. Back in Genesis, God said, I will send you to a land that I will show you. A very specific call. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, I will call you to bring my people out of Egypt. It isn't some nebulous call. It isn't some abstract thing where God will say, now listen, I'm going to just check and see how willing you are, how obedient you are, and I'm going to put you on a probation period of obedience test. And when you've gone through the obedience test, just to hang around and wait. No, I'm not going to ask you to do anything for a while. I'm just going to ask and see if you just are willing to wait. Then I'll give you some rules, some regulations, some instructions. No, God didn't do that. Right at the gate, God said, here is what I'm going to ask you to do. This is a very specific call. I'm going to call you for a very specific purpose. I love Natalie's story this morning because she was called for a very specific purpose, a very specific time, to a very specific people group. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about Natalie in a moment or two. Mark chapter 1, Jesus went along the shore and there was these fishermen, and he said, I'm calling you to come with me to be fishers of men. Now, it's interesting, friends, that the call is specific, but perhaps they didn't understand what was going to be entailed in the call. I'm quite sure that when Abram left Ur of the Chaldees and headed out with his family, he didn't know where he was going. You know, the call was specific, but at this point in time, there wasn't adequate clarity as to what was going to be involved. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, God calling those men out for the work which I have called them. Are they going to know exactly where they're going to be on this date and this date and this date and this date? No, God knew, but they didn't know. They were operating in absolute obedience. In 1976, God placed a call upon Betty's and my life, my wife and I. We were thinking we were farmers, but God had a specific plan, and he placed a sacred call upon us, and he wanted us to obey. Well, Betty had the stronger call perhaps first, and she said, honey, I believe that this is what God is calling us to do. And I wasn't with her. Now, was God calling me? Yes, I certainly believe he was. Because when I was 14 years old and I was at a Bible camp, I had a dream that was as clear as me looking at you today. It was so clear that I just woke up from my dream because God had called me to talk to people. God had called me, and in my dream there was a man, and I was to go to that man, and I was to talk to that man about Jesus Christ. And I believe that that's the first place in my life where God called me. Well, then I went about my life. I went on my own way and my own will, doing my own thing. One of the goals that I had in life was to get married. I so wanted to get married. You see, I had a little fear. I had a little fear that while those of you that have served in armed forces or those of you that serve as police officers today, I totally respect you, but I don't want your job for anything. And I was so afraid that as a young man, our country may go to war and I might have to go and be a soldier. And I was so terribly afraid of that. I don't know why I was so afraid of that, but here I was. So I knew that married men are not called as quickly as single men. So now, you had all kinds of thoughts in your mind, didn't you, why I wanted to be married? But I would have to say, without a doubt, the biggest single one in my mind was so that I wouldn't have to go and be a soldier. Little did I know what was going to be ahead. Now, don't go building anything on that one either, because we have a wonderful marriage. Just in case you're thinking I was in a different kind of warfare. So God's call was very specific, but it didn't formulate for a while. In the winter of 1976, maybe 77, I was agonizing one night at the couch. I was kneeling at the couch in our home, and I had a hymn book in front of me, and I was singing that hymn, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. And some of the time, the tears were so full in my eyes that I couldn't read the words. And I was kneeling by myself in front of that couch. And I got up from the couch, and my wife was there in our home. And I went and I wrapped my arms around her, and in tears, I said, honey, I believe that God is calling us to sell this little farm that really was not making us any money yet because it was a homestead, and it was just such a long story there. And so we just rejoiced together there that God's call was seemingly tying down tight, like tying a knot. We lived on a on a farm. We had a long driveway. Our driveway was probably almost a half a mile long. And we were at the end of the road, and hardly anybody ever came down that road because there was one farm further on down from us. And when I got up from my knees and hugged my wife and told her what was going on in my life, I looked out the window and lights were coming in. It was wintertime, it was dark, so lights were coming in our driveway. I thought, I wonder who's coming. So it turned out to be my nephew and his wife who were living in their parents' yard just up the road about a mile and a half. And they came and they, come on in, you know, and they're with their winter jackets and boots and so on. And they just stood inside our doorway, just kind of on one foot and on the other, and just kind of very nervous. And I said, come on in, take your boots off. And, you know, come on in. Well, we don't want to bother you. And I said, come on in, you know. We were hungry for company anyway. And I said, what's up? And he said, well, I don't know. I shouldn't really even say this, and I don't know. But we've been praying, and my wife and I, this is Cliff and Cherith, my wife and I have been praying, he said, and it just seemed like God was really, really, really strongly telling us that we should come and offer to buy your farm. Do you realize, friends, that while I was kneeling there crying and praying, they were already in their vehicle driving? Do you realize that when I got up from there, they were almost at our driveway? God had called them to a very specific call, and they were being obedient to that call. So when they said that, I just laughed. And he said, No, don't. Never mind. We'll just write it off. And I said, you have no idea, Cliff and Cherith, what's just been happening here in our home. I said, while you were driving, God was clinching the deal in my heart that we were ready to step away from this farm and do whatever he wanted us to do. Now, I wouldn't say right at that moment that we had a specific call. I wouldn't say that I had any clarity, really. But I knew that it was a sacred call from God that was happening in my life. Well, before they left there that night, we had basically put together a deal and essentially sealed it. Amazing how God works. I believe that God places sacred calls upon our life. I believe that He places specific calls upon our life. And then I believe that His call is a very sanctified call. Come back with me to the book of Jonah for just a moment. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. You see, God was setting Jonah apart. See, sanctified means to be set apart. And God was setting Jonah apart to a very specific call, to a very specific people for a very specific time. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, separate to me Barnabas and Saul. Another version of Scripture puts it, set apart to me Barnabas and Saul. You see, a sanctified call means moving out of our comfort zone. God said to Jonah, I want you to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. That wasn't a comfortable move for Jonah. It wasn't a comfortable move for Barnabas and Saul to set out from their comfort zone to go and do the work that God had called them to. It wasn't comfortable for me and my wife to set out from what we seemed to think was comfortable. A sanctified call may often be a physical call. Andy and Janet are sitting back here this morning, and I want to say bless you for obedience to the call of God on your lives. They were in front of you as a congregation here just recently. We prayed for them, and now in a matter of days, they're going to head back to Soli Island, specific, sacred, sanctified call to serve among the people. Natalie's story is the same thing. a very sacred, a very specific, a very sanctified call. Natalie said she was nervous, you know, because a sanctified, specific call is often involves an emotional move, a physical move. Oh, Mike and Natalie are living in their home, and a janitor moving to a specific place, going to another place. And it's a very deep spiritual move. I know if you talk to those two couples, they would tell you the spiritual move that's happening in their life along the way. Well, one of the quotes that you have gotten to connect me with around here, because somebody just mentioned it to me the other day, is Hudson Taylor's quote, "God's work done God's way does not lack God's provision." You know, friends, today when God calls, he's got all his ducks in a row, as we say. He's got all his plans laid out perfectly. He knows exactly what we're going to need a week from today, a month from today, a year from today, 10 years from today in the obedience to his call. He's got it together. Someone once said, "I finally got it together, but I forgot where I put it." Well, you know what? Sometimes in our lives, we think we've got it together, but we find out after a little while that we don't have it together. But friends, today I'm so thankful that we serve a God that does have it together. You see, when God calls, God pays the bill. Did you get that? When God calls, he provides everything that we need. All that we need, he provides. Whether he provides it through miraculous means, or whether he provides it through material means or whatever. I know that there are some people in life that they said, "I'm very, very sure that I'm in the place where God has called me to be." But they're working at a job. You say, "Well, how in the world can be working at a job as a teacher or a pilot or a plumber or a nurse? How can you be there and realize that's God's call?" I believe it's very, very clear. It's very sacred. It's very specific. It's a very sanctified call that he's placed upon your life. And God pays the bill. He has provided this job for you. He's provided circumstances. He's provided help. He's provided encouragers. He provides all kinds of things when God calls. Now notice in verse 3 of our passage this morning, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." That's a very powerful little phrase in there, friends, because we operate on a free will. When God calls us, we need to be willing to say, "Yes, I'll follow. Yes, I'll do. Yes, I will." But you see, we also have the opportunity, if we wish, we also have the option to say, "Uh-uh. No, I'm not going to do that." You see, we can say no to God. Now, will he stop loving us? No. Will it change the call? No. But we can rebel against his call. So Jonah arose and he went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It's ironic, and little words in God's word kind of get me sometimes, and you say, "Well, that's the way you think, and I know that's the way I think." He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. And just a little bit further on, it says that he went down into the ship. Jonah was on his way down, and we'll hear a little bit more in coming Sundays that he went down a little bit further. Isn't our ship great? That's thanks the most in part to Carla. It's actually a Vacation Bible School decoration, but we said, "Could we borrow it a little bit early?" Isn't that a great ship? Wonderful ship. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. And then the next five words, "So he paid the fare." He paid the fare. Listen, friends, when God calls us, he pays. When we rebel, we pay. When God calls, he pays. When we rebel, we pay. And you know, maybe there's circumstances that you could think of in your life this morning. You would say, "Pastor Art, I can relate. I can relate that there's been times in my life that I've rebelled, and it has cost me dearly. I like to think of the passage over in Genesis chapter 12, and I won't take time to read it this morning. I'm just going to refer to it, and maybe you know the passage a little bit that I'm talking about. Abraham, he's got a son now, Isaac. His name was still Abram at that time. And God had called him, and God told him to take his son a little bit later. Pardon me, his name is Abraham now. Pardon me on that. He said, I want you to take your son, and I want you to offer him in sacrifice. You see, Abraham and Sarah had tried for years to have a baby, and it didn't work. Now God miraculously provided, and now God is asking him to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice to the Lord. So here they go, Abraham and Isaac, and they've got a container there with coals for a fire. They've got wood on a backpack on Isaac's back. And as they're trudging up the mountain, Isaac said, Dad, you've got fire, and I've got wood, but where's the lamb? In verse 8, Abraham says, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb. God will provide for himself the lamb. As I was getting up from the couch in our home after weeping and praying and agonizing before God, God was providing for us driving down the road in that vehicle that night. It was already happening. And you know, I like to think that while Abraham and Isaac were trudging up this side of the mountain, there was a ram being stuck in a bush on the other side. God's provision was happening. God's provision was there. The two of them went on together, and God provided the lamb. Well, it's a beautiful picture of obedience. We read of Jesus calling the disciples. Immediately, they left, and they left their nets. Jonah paid the fare, and he went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Twice in verse 3, he went from the presence of the Lord. Friend, today where are you at? Is God calling you, and maybe he has given you a very sacred, specific call? I'm going to invite the worship team back out right now, and as they come, just think about perhaps that God has given you a specific call, and you can say, yes, Pastor Art, I've obeyed that call, and I can tell you circumstances where I've obeyed that call. But perhaps you're here this morning, you're like Jonah, and God calls you, and you go, whoa, no, I'm not going to do that. So you're going to manipulate things. You're going to manage your own circumstances. You're going to pay your own bill, so that you can turn your back on God and you can go and do your own thing. Well, you know, there's good news in the book of Jonah a little later on. Go ahead and read the book if you like. You can read it in one short sitting this afternoon or tomorrow. Some of you have a day off tomorrow. God's plan wasn't finished by Jonah going down to Joppa, down into the boat. God still had some plans for Jonah. And friend, today, if you're here today and you're resisting God's call, rest well assured that God's not done with you. God may have, and I'm quite confident, does have some circumstances ahead for you. He loves you, but you might be heading into difficult circumstances because you've chosen to rebel. I love you. I'd love to chat with you if you want to. Spend some time if you want to meet with me and talk about God's call in your life. And if you're rebelling, we want to see you function in the full blessing of God. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we want to come to you today as humble people that you call. You call, I believe there isn't one of us here that doesn't have some kind of a call on our life. Father, I pray that you would help us to realize that call Help us to realize your provision. Help us to realize your sacred call, your specific call, your sanctified call. And oh God, we ask for our willingness. We ask for our submission to you, and that we would see the beauty of your hand at work in our lives. Guide us, we pray. Direct us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.